Hi, my name is Alan from Alan Wee Property. Welcome back to my YouTube channel. In today's video, I'm going to talk about this controversial topic. How to lose money in property in 2025. I know at this junction, many of you here will say, Alan, I think you kisi already. Why do you always have such strange topic to share? Others always talk about making money. How to be rich through property investment. How to buy the right property through those secret strategy and so on. But how come you go the reverse? Well, I took the inspiration from the co-founder of Alibaba Group, Ma Yun. He famously said, instead of learning from other people's success, learn from their mistakes. Before Ma Yun succeeded, he failed many times. He made many stupid mistakes. That is why learning from mistakes is the greatest secret in becoming successful. This applies to property too. I don't want to say I'm an expert in property investment. Neither am I very smart. However, I've been studying how investors lose money by buying the wrong properties. And some of them make huge painful mistakes. If you think only poor people make lousy mistakes, you are damn wrong. Rich people also make foolish mistakes. Without further ado, let's jump straight into the details and hopefully you don't make those silly mistakes too. A big disclaimer here, not all small projects cannot buy. Some can buy. Buy only those that are undervalued and have a unique selling point. They can be found throughout Singapore. It's not easy to find them, especially in today's market. But it's worth keeping an eye on them. As for what kind of small project to avoid, let me share with you a few tips to avoid them. Firstly, avoid those that have a high entry prices. Obviously, if you have a project that is selling at an elevated prices, this means the odds of exiting with a profit will be very challenging. Study the surrounding price of comparable properties to have a feel of the market pricing in that locality. Here, it's not easy for the layman as you will need to have some property experience to unearth the gem from the trash. Let me share with you a project that is losing money supported by market data. Let me compare two projects in the east that are launched at almost the same time. The small project that I'm comparing is located along Tanjong Katong Road. I've deliberately masked his project name, especially for those projects that are not doing too well. This is a small freehold development with 20 odd units. Since it launched in 2017, it has fared only 11% return to date. Not very exciting in my opinion. A closer look at its number will reveal 3 winners and 1 loser. The profit generated, with the exception of one, is barely break-even only. Let's compare against another project which is known as Park Esta, which is on 99 years with 1,400 units. It has fared better at 31% return to date. Interesting, right? A closer look at the number will reveal 281 winners and 0 losers. I doubt I need to further elaborate on their profits. Why is this so? For small projects, they usually have lower transaction volume and limited facilities coupled with high management costs. That is why they are usually not appealing to buyers as compared to bigger projects which have more facilities and more publicly known. Even for freehold projects, there are no guarantee for success. It takes more than that to make some money. However, if that project is near a popular primary school or has some X factor, then it's worth taking a second look. Hold on, later those who own small projects will say this is an unfair comparison. Big projects can also lose money. Yes, you are correct. Let me shed some light on another big project with close to 700 units. This is a 99 years project also in the east. Interestingly, 72 out of the 273 units are losing money. How can that be? This is after all a project that was launched way back in 2011. If I dive deeper into the numbers, there is a clear observation. One bedroom that measures about 500 square feet is losing money even to date. This after holding on for 14 years. Losses are not significant. They range from low $1,000 to $10,000. Still okay. However, the bigger units that measure 3,380 square feet are losing big time. Losses range from $100,000 to as high as close to $1,000,000. Wow. Like that, huh? Sheer sweat. Mind you, this is an OCR location. We are not even talking about CCR property yet. This points us to the next section. Let's use back the earlier condo for our analysis. A quick glance into the profitable transaction. We can see that 3 bedrooms generally do better. followed by 2 bedrooms, and followed by 1 bedroom. However, this also depends on the number of unit mix during the onset. A general rule of thumb, for more heartland locations, 3 bedrooms are usually more popular. This is obvious, right? People want to buy and stay, usually for families. The smaller units are skewed towards investment or for couples or singles. Then what about bigger units like those strata landed? Well, it was quite chaotic for this project. Many of the 3,300 square feet units are bleeding money. Losses range from 400,000 to as high as 1.5 million. Seriously, this is easily losing 64% of its value. Super blur. Yes, this is true. I never bluff you. All these are supported by market data. Having said that, not all strata landed cannot buy. Let's take a look at the 99 years Affinity at Serangoon. Wow, amazing, right? They are doing exceptionally well from 540,000 to 875,000. That is why sometimes it's quite difficult to tell which project will make money and which one will lose money. But if you study them more closely, you will more or less find a pattern. So, what is the safest bet? Go for the typical 3 and 4 bedrooms. You wouldn't go very far off. Then what about penthouses and ground floor patio unit? As of now, I don't really have the time to run through their numbers in details because such transactions are fewer. They also vary from project to project. Hence, it will not be fair to cast a conclusion onto them. But a general rule of thumb, since penthouse and patio unit are bigger in size, their profit and losses can go either way. Then some of you will ask me, what about loft unit or those Soho or whatever name they are called? Let me use J Gateway in Jurong as a reference. One of the blocks is Soho inspired. This means they are loft unit with high ceiling. Don't mind, let me use a very simple calculation by taking reference based on the past 20 transactions. I will only use those that are bought from launch. Block 6 is a Soho block, whereas block 2 is the typical block with single level floor plate. The average profit for block 2 is 342,000, whereas for block 6, which are Soho unit, they only gain 263,000. This is a 30% difference. Interesting, right? I doubt anyone in the real estate industry will share with you so openly. Here, if you have benefited so far, please help me to like, subscribe, comment, and share my video around. I have spent many hours creating content. It's not easy doing video all by myself and uploading it so regularly. That is all I ask for, nothing else. Not all strata title non-residential project cannot buy. You have to see how they are being positioned. This is a very deep topic and I don't wish to go too deeply into it. I know when I talk about commercial or industrial properties, half of you will fall asleep in class. Anyway, these are some random strata title retail units in the north. Look at the profitable transactions. You tell me lor. If these are decent return, hold for 11 years and make an analyzed return that range from 0.5 to 1.7%. As previously mentioned, if your return is less than 1%, it's as good as break even. Likewise, for those that lose money, their losses can go as high as 724,000. This is easily close to half its value. Today, prices will have gone up, but it's still below from its launch price. This is the same for selected strata title office and even industrial space. I suppose if you have been following my channel for some time, you will have known what I am talking about. Even freehold ones are not spare either. Please always buy with your eyes wide open. Ever since the increase of ABSD to 60% on foreigners, some districts that are popular by foreigners have underperformed in recent years. Let me use HPROP data. I categorize them into RCR and OCR versus CCR. From the chart below, we can see that from 2014 to 2024, both RCR and OCR have fared 36% based on all resale transactions, excluding EC. As for CCR, it fared only 15%. This means RCR and OCR have outperformed by 2.4 times. Crazy, right? I'm sure many investors also get this wrong. That is why in my The Ori Condo Review, I have mentioned that the new norm is shifting towards the heartland. This is the home where most Singaporeans prefer to live. If you still don't believe me, let me further break down into District 1, 2, 4, 6 and 7 versus the East region that stretch from MacPherson, East Coast and all the way to Loyang. This will give us a more broad-based analysis. Data don't lie, my friend. For prime district within the city center, they are skewed towards foreign demands. They only fare 12% based on recent transactions. For the East region, they fare an impressive 52% return to date. This is easily more than 4 times. Super big what? Close to eye can also make money. That is why I always say, must buy long term, plus buy in an area that has strong resale demand. Always remember, the key thing is, who will buy from you next? However, with rising prices in the heartland in recent years, will the market shift backwards to the core region in the next property cycle? After all, the price level in the core region look attractive to me. Going forward, is anyone guess how they will fare? Maybe have to wait till the day when all ABSD are abolished. But since Singaporean, PR and foreigners are so happy to contribute to nation building, I think a total removal is very unlikely. Maybe some adjustment is still possible. Whenever I hear condos that are designed by renowned foreign architects or star architects, I just wonder, we have so many local architecture firms that design HDB flats comparable to the private sector. Don't tell me in Singapore, bo talent meh? When developers engage these star architects, they don't come cheap. They command a premium. That is why the break-even cost has to be higher, factoring in the higher professional fees. I know such condos stood out by winning awards in international design competition. But to the man on the street, they only have two concerns. Firstly, are they designed to be livable? And secondly, can make money or not? Sadly, for those that are designed so uniquely or cater to only a targeted market, they usually don't do very well in the resale market. After all, such homes are not cheap in the first place. Most buyers are buying for their own stay. They are discreet, but they are also practical people too. A kitchen must look like a kitchen. A bedroom must look like a proper bedroom. Simple as ABC. That is why those that are designed with aesthetic in mind from the outside and fail to understand what the end buyer have in mind, they usually go underwater. In fact, many of them are still losing money today, even in today's rising market. To me, they are as good as bye-bye. Yes, a lot of people will want you to buy, but many forget to tell you to cash out. As mentioned earlier in my other videos, the odds of making a profit ultimately depend on you, when you like to exit and make a profit. We can see many that exited after holding the property for some time. Some investors have a time frame in mind. Some will sell right after TOP. Some hold it for 5 years, others keep it for a longer period, and so on. If you think it's a good opportunity to cash out, just like this proverb, make hay while the sun shines. Remember to call me, okay? Let me sell your property for a good price for you, and cash the profit and reinvest your fund into better properties that can generate higher return. That's life, isn't it? Money make money. This is the fun part, when you can make your hard-earned money work double hard for you. With that, I hope you've enjoyed today's content, and hopefully you have learned something useful. Before I end this video, I would like to share that every year I attend 2 to 3 courses conducted by external trading provider. I learn anything other than property. This is my own way to upskill myself. Last December, I learned child first aid with the Singapore Red Cross. It was a very meaningful program where I learned about first aid, CPR and the use of AED. I strongly encourage all of you to learn this. You never know, you can save someone's life using this simple life-saving skill. If you're competent, you can even sign up as a first respondent via the My Respondent app. This application is produced by the Singapore Civil Defence Force, or SCDF. Save a life today. You never know. Someone else may save your life one day too.